If any of you have ever tried out for like a basketball team for high school or college or junior high, soccer, football, whatever, maybe you tried to join a club, and you knew that there were certain standards that have to be met to make the team. You know that not just anybody could make the team. I remember when I was in high school, I had a lot of buddies that used to try out for football or basketball, and they would be practicing and working out and training and doing all this stuff, and they would come back and tell them, what happened? They told me I got cut from the team. Why? You were like such a good player and you were doing so well. I said, I just wasn't good enough. The competition was too much. Today, Christ is giving us the standards of how to make it to his team, of how much commitment he's searching for from his people. He's setting for us the high standards of commitment of the Christian life. Not just anyone can make the team. So when Christ lays out these standards for his followers, he's saying, this is what you have to be. And Christ makes it clear throughout all of Scripture that he wants to be number one in our life. He doesn't want to be a close second. He doesn't want to be a third. He wants to be before anything else in our lives. And he starts out this passage. Pay attention to the details of the words that he uses. And great multitudes went with him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He's saying, unless you hate your father and mother, wife or children, you cannot be my disciple. Is Christ preaching hate? Could Christ possibly be preaching hate? He couldn't have. Especially to our parents. When he tells us that we need to honor our father and our mother, and he himself, even when St. Mary spoke to him and asked him to do something at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, he obeyed. Even the last words on his cross were to take care of his mother, making sure that she was going to be taken care of. So he couldn't have meant that we would hate our father and mother. But he's saying, in comparison to your love to God, what you have for your parents is going to look like hate. That's what his expectation is. He says, nothing can come before me. Not your family, not your best friends, not your brother, not your sisters. And then he goes further. Not your own life. Even your own life can't come first. He gives us an example. And he's saying, look, you have to be willing to express love in the way that I express love to you. And he gives us an example through the Old Testament in Abraham. He tells Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you children as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the sky, and your name is going to be great. And everyone is going to, anyone who blesses you will be blessed. Anyone who curses you will be cursed. On one condition. Get out of your country, away from your father's house, away from your relatives, and go to a place that I will show you. Wow. You're asking for a lot, Lord. Why all this? Why all this? Where are we going to go? Tell me, where's the place that we're going? He said, that's not your business right now. Just go. Show me how much you love me, then I'll bless you. I need you to leave what you know. I need you to leave yourself. First, leave your family. Then he goes on and he says, all right, Abraham, I want to make a covenant with you. I want to make an agreement. I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to be with you on one condition. I need you to circumcise yourself, your son, and all the men of all your servants. Okay, God, the leaving my father's house thing was difficult. And the leaving everything I know, that's difficult. And I was willing to do that. But then for you to ask me to circumcise myself and all the men that are with me, you're asking for too much. But because you're saying, in order for us to have this love relationship covenant, it's got to be two ways. You need to put off yourself. You need to put off the flesh. It's like if I want to get my wife a ring. And before you propose to your wife, you say, you know, you're supposed to get your wife a ring. And all she needs is really a ring. It doesn't have to be fancy. So maybe I can get a fake diamond. It's not going to cost me anything. And it's nice and easy and makes everybody happy. Men, would that work? Would that work if you gave your fiancé a cheap ring that has no value and you say, what's the least I can spend to make sure that I get her the most? What's the least I can spend? No, the wife is looking for 2-3 carats. She's looking for all she can because she wants to see how much do you love me. Did it hurt? If it hurt, then you love me. And that's what she's expecting. Sorry, ladies. I know that your expectations are reasonable, but sometimes the other party doesn't think so. And then he goes on. He says, all right, Abraham, last thing. Sacrifice your son, your only son whom you love. And Abraham did it. Well, God asked Abraham first because he wanted to see his love. Do you love? Sacrifice. Do you want blessing? Sacrifice. God is calling us today to the next verse. He says, and his own life also cannot be my disciple, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In the reading of Matins, Christ was telling, or the angels were telling the disciples, saying, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here but risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. They couldn't handle the fact that Christ was saying, I'm going to be crucified. I have to die. And Peter started to almost rebuke Christ and say, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm even going to die with you. I will not let you die. Christ was disappointed. He said, you're not thinking of the things of men or the things of God. You're thinking rather according to the things of men. And Christ says, you think that's bad. You're upset that I'm going to be crucified. Wait till you hear what's going to happen to you. What do you mean? In order to be my disciple, you need to carry your cross. You see, nowadays for Christians, the cross is like it's just a spiritual word. No. The cross is a symbol of what it meant back in the day. When Christ is telling his disciples to carry your cross, this cross was meant for one thing, death. The cross was meant for those that were despised, those that were cursed, those that were hated. And he's saying, you want to be my disciple? You have to carry a cross. The cross is no longer just this spiritual word that we all take lightly. When you read it in this way, and he tells you, and whoever does not bear his cross, basically, which means, and whoever does not go to death and come after me cannot be my disciple. The spiritual life is not an easy thing. The Christian life is not an easy thing to accept. You cannot run away from the cross. You cannot run away from the way of suffering. St. Paul tells us in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, he says, we must, through much tribulation, again, pay attention to the wording, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Not we may, not we might, not if you have bad luck. No, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. But St. Paul tells us something throughout all his epistles. Tied with suffering always is glory. He says, for the sufferings of this present time are nowhere to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. The sufferings of this present time are nowhere to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. He goes on, for our light affliction, so St. Paul says his light affliction or his light suffering, stoning 3 times, shipwrecked, whipped 3 times, all this was a light affliction. He says it's but for a moment. But it's working for us a far exceedingly greater weight of glory. The goal was glory. And he says, you can't get to glory unless you suffer. Like Abraham. What would make Abraham sacrifice Isaac or circumcise himself? It was his love. It was his love, and he believed in something. Hebrews 11 tells us Abraham knew that if he sacrificed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. So with sacrifice and with the cross, he knew would come resurrection. Christ doesn't have cross without resurrection, but there has to be a cross in order to live a life of power, a life of victory, a life of glory. How many people have experienced the glory of God? I don't know how many of our children of the church, how many of our people sitting in these pews can say, I know the glory of God. You'll never know unless you carry your cross. The cross is an important thing. Often people tell me, Abuna, when you give sermons, try to make it practical. There's nothing practical about the spiritual life. What does he say? Let's go to Jesus' practical teaching. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, what's practical about hating your wife and your children? What's practical about that? Anyone who does not bear his cross cannot be my disciple. There's nothing practical. Everybody wants Abuna to make it just this big. Make it this big and I'll follow this big. It doesn't work that way. It's a cross. You want to know why everyone wants the teaching to be practical? Because nobody wants to pay a price. No, Abuna, make it easy. Make it simple so everyone can understand. There's nothing to understand. Christ wants it all. There's nothing difficult to understand. He wants you to love your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. I can't paint a small picture for you and say, just do these small things. And he says, you must bear your cross to be my disciple. There's no other way. But how do you do that? It's difficult. What do you mean carry your cross? What do you mean suffer, Abuna? It's too difficult. You're asking for too much. If you look at anything that's beautiful, when you look at a beautiful face, somebody who's very pretty, somebody who's very handsome, it's because their face is symmetrical. They have 2 eyes, nose is centered, mouth is centered, 2 ears. Everything is symmetrical. That's what makes beauty. And so Christ, in order to make a beautiful picture of our salvation, says it's got to be symmetrical. I'm going to pay the biggest price, but you have to pay some too. It's got to be a two-way thing. I can't just love and you receive and do nothing. Some people just tell us, some denominations out there will say, just accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and that's it. No, that's not it. Accept and then carry your cross. Where's the struggle in that? You have teachings that teach the gospel of prosperity. God is going to bless you and he's going to make you rich and he's going to heal you. No! You are going to carry a cross. You are going to walk a narrow path. You might be killed for his name's sake. That is the gospel. I want us as believers to know the true gospel. The word disciple, sometimes when we think of, you cannot be my disciple, maybe you're thinking, okay, I'm not going to be a mature believer. No! The word disciple and the word Christianity are interchangeable. The word Christians were only used 3 times in the New Testament. After they were called disciples, later on they were just called Christians. So if you're a Christian, I have news for you. You have to carry a cross. People are always trying to avoid their crosses, run away from their crosses. Your cross is what's going to save you. Your cross is what's going to give you glory. When you stand before the throne of God and you didn't have a cross, you're not going to have resurrection. You can't have resurrection without a cross. St. John Chrysostom says this. He says, don't feel sorry for the people that suffer, like the poor. Don't feel sorry for them. Feel sorry for the people that aren't suffering. He says, because the people that are suffering, when they stand before the throne of God, they're going to receive this credit or this deposit of righteousness because they suffered. But you who didn't suffer, you're going to have to make up all of that lack of righteousness. You earn righteousness before God. You earn blessings before God when you carry your cross. Christ always did everything but with conditions. It says He chose us before the foundation of the world. He chose us and adopted us as sons on condition that you would be holy and blameless before Him in love. So He chose you, yes. He loves you, yes. He wants to bless you, yes, on condition that you be holy and blameless. And holiness is not going to come without the cross. And then he goes on. And he says, I want you to learn how to count the cost. If you are making a decision to be a Christian, to be a disciple for Christ, he says what? For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? You want the Christ life? You want all of God's peace and blessing and everything that comes with it? You have to carry the cross. And you have to, and if you're going to carry the cross and you're going to make this decision to receive all that God has to give, you have to count the cost. Be willing to pay the price. You have to be willing to pay the price. You have to be willing to offer something precious to Him. Carry a cross. Show your love. Sacrifice your only son. Sacrifice those things that you love that are getting in the way of you having this intimate love relationship with Him. It's the only way. Some people say, Abuna, but my family life or my friends, it's not a conducive environment to being a Christian. As if I'm supposed to say, then forget about it, don't worry about it, you'll be okay. No! Pay the price! Carry your cross! Be strong! Don't just give in. Stand against temptation. Stand against your friends that are leading a different life. Sacrifice. He says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. What's easy about plucking out your eye? There's nothing easy about that. But he said it's better to go into heaven with one eye than to burn with two. It's only one way. It's the way of the cross. It's the way of dying to self. Have you died to yourself or not? Are you familiar with death or not? I have news for you. Christ is going to carry that cross. Christ is the one that's going to carry. Which is why the Gospels didn't leave us without the correct message. In the Vespers Gospel, he tells Matthew. He says in the Gospel of Matthew, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. All of you are having a hard time. He says, and I will give you rest. I'm going to give you the rest. With me, there's going to be comfort. Take my yoke upon you. Take my cross upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. What does he say? How am I going to deal with you? Know that I'm gentle and lowly in heart. I'm a sweet God. I'm a loving God. I'm a kind God. I'm not going to let you get hurt. I'm going to make you strong. I'm going to show you glory. I'm going to give you victory over your sins. But carry the cross. I just came back from Egypt a month ago, and I visited a monastery that was attacked by 100 Bedouins with guns. They rushed the monastery and they were shooting at the monks. It came to a point that the monks that were telling me the story, they were the ones that were there. They said, we felt the heat of the bullets by our ears. I said, how far were they? He said, no, Abuna, they were right here. There was 100 of them running through our monastery, shooting at us. None of us were hit. Then, two of the monks were taken away. And they would draw a sign of the cross in the sand. They say, spit on the cross. And they say, never. And they took the back of their rifles and in their teeth would beat them. And they were electrocuting them all the night. And I was hearing this. I'm thinking, I could not imagine if I was put in this situation how I would continue. And they had to keep on. They would say, okay, say these two statements and we'll let you go. Which would be denying their faith and accepting a different faith. They refused. Electrocution. I said, how did you endure all this? How did you keep going? He said, Abuna, we didn't feel anything. I thought he was being humble. And I said, honestly, how did you? He said, Saddatni Abuna, I promise you, we didn't feel. I said, what do you mean? He said, even when they stopped electrocuting us, because it was in the middle of the night, we were falling asleep. We were driving them crazy. We would fall asleep when they would leave us alone. I was amazed that even in their suffering, God was carrying the cross. It was God that was carrying it. All I could say to them was, hail to you. Hail to you. You should be glorified with Christ because you carried your cross. And then he goes on. He says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, cannot be my disciple. What is he asking you to forsake? Forsake your own life. Forsake your plans for his plans. God has big plans. God has big plans, plans of glory, to use you to bring salvation to the whole world. But you have to forsake all. You can't love yourself. You can't love your flesh. You're going to have to be willing to pay a price. Forsake your plans. And then I'm going to use you. Because then he goes on, salt is good. But if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. He's saying, you are the salt of the earth. You are what's going to keep this worth going. If you're carrying your cross and if you love me first. You are the one that's going to bring flavor to this world. You are going to be the light of the world. I'm going to be glorified through your life. That's the purpose of the Christian life. It's not just to come and to take communion, to go to church and say a few prayers. I need you to be my ambassadors. You have to make the cut. I can't just have anybody be my examples or be my ambassador. No, you have to represent me. And if I carry the cross, you're going to carry the cross. You're not going to carry the same cross. Christ carried the cross of the sins of the whole world. We are carrying the cross in order that the whole world would know him. Our part is to do whatever it takes that the whole world would know him. My brothers and sisters, these are the standards of the Christian life. This is how you make the cut. This is how you make the team. You can't just accept. You accept and the Lord Jesus Christ, wonderful. Now walk with him by carrying your cross. St. Isaac the Syrian says, the measuring stick of one's love for God is by how much he suffers. How much you're willing to pay the price. You want to measure how much you love God? How much are you willing to pay? Sometimes it's difficult just to ask people to pay their tithes. It's like pulling teeth to get people to pay tithes. Forget a cross. Forget the cross. Tithes. That's a problem. We don't understand the Christian life. You're right. You don't have to pay tithes if you're not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you're not into the whole carrying the cross thing and walking down the narrow path and experiencing the glory of God, don't pay your tithe. Don't serve. Don't endure. If you don't want to be a Christian, but if you want all that comes with God, all his blessing, all his peace, all his protection, all the security that comes in him, then these are the criteria. This is the job posting for those that want to be his disciples. And glory be to God forever. Amen.